Well, open up to Ephesians chapter 5. And I hope you heard the message from this morning. I think we're going to call that one the first begotten from the dead. First begotten. And I remember growing up, the only time they ever heard that old English word begotten used, you know, is always the only begotten of the Father, you know, and that's in there. Jesus is the only begotten. He's called that. And He is the only one that'll ever be conceived that way, you know, uniquely, completely by the Holy Ghost in the womb of Mary. And His Spirit came from God, but see, His body came really through Mary. And then you can trace that line all the way back to Adam. So He had a fall. He's just like a reborn Christian now. He is the pattern. That's why He's called the Alpha, the Omega. He has a body that's fallen, wearing that, yet He has a nature that's from God the Father, and then empowered by the Holy Ghost. If that's not the pattern for our dispensation, what is? Yet religion has worked diligently to keep us from any kind of revelation like that. If anything, like I say, because of the church steeples, Dave really liked my description Wednesday night about the pointy hats and the smoking, the little box that smokes hanging from a chain and the wafers and all of that stuff. And the whole idea when you walk into one of those places is God so big and you're so little, and obviously you got to go through the, those guys must be between you and God. You don't have no pointy hat. You don't have no smoking box. The whole idea is to keep you separate from God, you know, separate, you know, even more distant. And really the truth of it is we are supposed to be so identified with Him. He considers you like I can, you know, like the time He said to me, when's the last time you thanked your hand for obeying you? I don't consider my hand to be something separate from me. Do you? My hand is part of me, and that's the oneness that He's, that mystery of one flesh. He says, religion keeps trying to separate you from me, but my word tells you, you are joined together with me. You and I are one. And there we go, back to John 17. Father, thou and me, I and them, that we all may be one. Hallelujah. You're dismissed. Glory to God. If we can get that right there, if we can get that, man, we're going to escape the gravitational pull of religion. We're going to break out of orbit here. Amen? That orbit that we've been in for so long. Well, it's no. I've been around here a long time, and it's no coincidence. It's not just a happenstance. It's not just by accident or routine that the week before conference, the Holy Spirit starts directing Dave to start having us on do communion. There's a real reason for that. And it's not really a witch hunt. But see, of all the things that we can get involved, you can get involved in all kinds of things that are not really good. But boy, you want to know the quickest thing that'll cut you off from the flow of God and being able to hear God and the power of God? It's unforgiveness. More than anything else. Bitterness, wrath. So in Ephesians 5 here, it's starting in verse 1, it says, be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Well, how did He love us? He forgave us all our trespasses. Even on the cross, when He's suffering the agonies of the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But see, that really, you'd have to back up into chapter 4 to see how you do that. And this is really, you know, we majored on verses 22, 23, and 24 for 9 years, seems like. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you can put off the old man and put on the new man. And we talked about verse, you know, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. No, don't let the sun go down on upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And you got to hook that up with those two verses go together. It's just like in the book of Joshua. How would they have given place to the enemy there? Oh, just leave them alone. We're just going to live with this problem. I know that I'm a short-tempered Christian. I'm just always going to be a short-tempered Christian. You're just going to have to love me anyhow, and we will, but you don't have to stay that way. Or whatever it is, you know, internet fingers, greed, envy. But of all the things that to deal with, unforgiveness and bitterness, I mean, now you're striking at the heart of the gospel. All right, let's keep coming. Keep on coming on down here, because he talks us a little. When he says walk in love, a big part of that is, that's especially starting in verse 31 of chapter 4. Let all bitterness. Why would you be bitter? Why would you be bitter against somebody? Well, I'm bitter against so-and-so. Why? There's a perceived wrong. Either they really did it, or at least you perceived it. Okay? Say, well, I'm bitter. And sometimes you might go, well, I forgave them. Really? Take them to lunch. No. Now, I'm not saying you have to trust them. You notice it's not, trust is not in there? See? I say, look, God's mercy and His grace, forgiveness is free. Respect is earned. You know? You're going to have to prove to me that you can be trusted to handle my money, or that I can trust you around the house without you stealing stuff and whatever, see? So forgiveness, second chance, third chance, sure. Trust, that's got to be earned. But it's on our part, we have to let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, malice is an... malice? Malice is where you did them evil and you thought about it first. That's like... that's... you planned something. I'm going to get them, and I'm thinking about how I'm going to do it. That's, you know, that's malice aforethought. You know, that's... It says you got to give all that stuff up as a Christian. Bitterness, anger, wrath. He's talking about other people. And I remember even way back at the Bible studies when we were doing a series that I called the Boot Camp, and it's still at the website, and it's really pretty, still pretty good to this day. People are using that around the world, and sometimes I know about it, sometimes I don't. I just found out recently that way back in the thick part of, you know, the remote part of the Philippines, I found out there's a church down there that's been using that believers, the old cassette tapes, you know, the old cassette tape version. They don't even have a internet back there, and they just make copies and they print the manual, and they've been doing that, I found out, for like 5 years. And they use it like every new convert. They'll do like a school of 25 at a time, you know. And I'm going, my goodness. So here's my little Pottawatomie County voice down there in the jungle of the Philippines. I've never been to the Philippines, you know. Isn't it amazing how God takes your little loaves and fishes of obedience, you know, and He multiplies it and keep using it. You don't even know about it. You know, who knows? But see, I remember one of the big main lessons in there, where the analogy was like boot camp, so you're always using war. Forgiveness is your big gun. Forgiveness is your big gun. You want to really start loosing God, loosing heaven to go after somebody? And even today, even though we don't go on fishing trips, you know what I mean by that? You don't want to just, well, surely there's something. You start dredging up stuff that isn't real. You know what today? Now, most times, I'll just be honest with you. I've been at this so long. I have worked so hard to get unforgiveness and bitterness out of me. Most of the time when we do communion and I get quiet and I listen, I say, Lord, if there's anything in me, bring it up. Most of the time, for years, there hasn't been anything. There just really hasn't. And I've been, I can go back to previous days. we could talk for hours. You know, I got lists of people that did me wrong, man. But today, he actually brought one up. And I searched my heart and I went, well, son of a gun. There really is. And I had to repent. And I had to pray. Now, what did you pray? Father, I pray fire come down from heaven and consume. No. No. Jesus said, remember the time that they wouldn't rent him a Motel 6? Isn't that how y'all read your Bible? He was trying to get a room in Samaria. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He said they wouldn't rent him a room. I'll take that. They must have had some kind of lodging there, you know, Motel 6 of the day. No, you're going to Jerusalem. We're not going to rent a room. So what did God, what he calls them, the sons of thunder. You remember John and James? They go, Lord, do you want us to call down fire and consume them? You know, they're thinking back to the days of Elijah. You know, and he's going, you don't even know what spirit you're of. He said, I'm coming to die for those guys, and you want to call down fire from heaven? See? So, you know, No, so now it's like, and see this person that I have, that I had bitterness against. Oh, trust me, this is not a perceived wrong. Brought harm to me, brought harm to my family. Still going on right now. And I, without realizing it, you know, you just coast along kind of, you know, without realizing it. Sure enough, there's a little bit in there. And I went, oh my goodness, it's been a long time. So quietly, to, you know, you don't want to call it out. Well, I, you know. By the way, when you're doing that, you know, if it's somebody close by, don't put your hand on them right at that moment and go, oh God, forgive so and so. I don't think that's the right spirit either. And the person's not even in this church, by the way, lives in another state. And so I had to do it myself. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, just exactly what it says here. And on the inside, I've already been praying. Okay, God, you got to start showing me this guy with your eyes. I know you died for him. Lord, you got to show me, how do you see this guy? Father, I make an intercession for him. I know he's probably not even thinking he's doing the wrong thing. You know, and he's probably thinking he's doing the right thing. But it's bringing destruction. Help me understand it. So that's how you do it. You know, you got to start walking in love like the new creature that you really are. Boy, and this renewing of the mind that he talks about here in chapter 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I know we're doing some of that. I know we're getting some of that. But until we start seeing people, when it says walk in love the same way he loved us, I wonder what it's going to be like the more he starts having us see people through his eyes. You know? He died for Hitler. My mind goes boing, you know. He died for Osama bin Laden. I like how Dave says it. He said we'd much rather, I mean, God would prefer to stop Osama with the gospel than with a bullet. But see, you got to balance that with it. This is New Testament, not Old Testament, what I'm about to tell you. The law is for the lawless. It says the law is not made for a righteous man. That's you. The law is made for the lawless. So you do everything you can to reach them with the gospel. But see, if an axe murderer continues murdering, the law is for the lawless. And they got to be restrained. Whatever. Same thing with Osama. See, he's got to be stopped. Can't let him do more buildings if we can. Well, anyway, verse 31 of chapter 4 again. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. I see all of those things are non-tangible. They're in there. You know when they're in there. But evil speaking is tangible. And that's one you can really do something about. And I mean sometimes everything in you wants to share, buddy. A good prayer to pray right there is, Lord, help set a watch on my lips that I do not sin against you. You know, help set a watch on my lips. Boy, I have prayed that. That's something you can really do. And the thing, if it comes out, if you say it, say something that you, and immediately you know you shouldn't have said that about them, all you can do is repent, do it quickly, and ask for crop failure. Father, I pray those seeds, that, you know, your words are like seeds. I pray those words die. I pray crop failure over those words. Forgive me for even saying that, Father. And then try and do the best you can to correct it in the ears of the hearer. Let's go on a little more. So evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be this. See, he's still talking about put off the old man, put on the new man. This really only, really permanently only happens as we do still, verse 22, 23, 24, as we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. Because part of that renewal is, he's going to change how you see people. He changes how you see them. Yes, sir. Okay, well, again, you'll learn when you teach. You got to follow him. Most of you have heard this story. Some of you might be new enough, you haven't. Years ago, there was a lawsuit. This was right before even Sue and I came. There was a lawsuit against Pastor Dave from another pastor. Even though in Corinthians it says, don't do that. And so here was this lawsuit. And this other pastor, his lawyer, if I remember, if every detail isn't correct, the spirit of it is. You understand what I mean? The lesson is. I think it was the lawyer's office that had a fire. It might have been the pastor. I don't know. But in any event, the evidence, their documents got burned up. And they're having this lawsuit against Dave, but their evidence got burned up. Now what would we do?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You did send down fire from heaven and you consumed the evidence that was against me, and we'd be preaching a deliverance that has come. You know what, Pastor, see, when I heard this story, this was early on when we first came. When I heard this, I went, I have miles to go. I got a long ways to go because I knew I wouldn't have done this. Do you know what they did? They went to their files and they made Xerox copies of all of the evidence, all of the transactions, everything that had got burned up. And they gave it to the man so that he could continue his lawsuit. And I'm going, Shandai Mahandai. I'd never heard of it. Holy smoke, you know. Who ever heard of anything like that? Their trust is in God. And the guy, anyway, I don't want to give you too much information. Anyway, the lawsuit was not successful. And everything worked out. But see, they were more concerned about the spiritual well-being of the man who was suing them than their own well-being. I know somebody else like that. I think his name is Jesus. Who on the cross, Father, forgive them, that they know not what they do. And the other one I think of is Stephen. Here they're stoning the man to death. He hasn't done anything wrong. I don't know if he's married, got children. I don't know. If he does, it's dawning on him as these rocks keep hitting his head. And in those days, they did it that way and knew what they were doing. You know, you're going to die. They're not going to quit till you stop breathing. So he, on the inside, some kind of thinking had to be going on. Well, I'm glad I kissed my wife this morning before I left. Never going to see my child again. Instead of praying like we would pray, not you, but probably I would have. Lord, vengeance, stop them. Help me, help me. What does he pray? Lay not this sin to their charge. Oh my God. That forgiveness, I have no doubt at all, that prayer is what released heaven to go after Saul of Tarsus. He probably got them all. We don't have record of the rest of them. But we do have record of Saul of Tarsus. And he was standing there. He was the young man holding their coats. And I think the reason for that, he was the highest in authority. He's above the actual throwing of the rocks. But he was authorized. He had papers to authorize that kind of thing. He said, several places. He says, I persecuted the church unto death. Man, oh man. How about forgiveness being your big gun? You say, well, that wasn't so good for Stephen. Pardon me? If I'm not mistaken, how many of you think Paul probably got a pretty good reward when he went to heaven? I think Paul got a pretty good reward. Stephen got it too. Yeah, his earthly life was cut short, but that's like a little puff. That's like a... See, here we go again. We're evaluating things from the material side of life rather than the eternal side of life. And our life on this earth is like a puff. It's like a... And it's gone. Even if you live the full 120 years or whatever, it's like a puff compared to eternity. So, by obeying Christ, I don't think Stephen feels slighted. I don't think he feels like he got robbed. I don't think so. All eternity is going to be enjoying not only his reward for what he did, but everything Paul did. And all the rest of them that I think probably got saved through that. Well, back to the scripture here. Yes, sir. My goodness. Okay, we still haven't gotten to verse 32. So let me read 31 again. We'll try to make it this time to 32. See, put off this. This is putting off the old man. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now here's putting on the new man. And this happens again by the renewing of the spirit of our mind. And be you put on this, kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know who I see that in my earthly walk more than anybody? That's Pastor Dave. I see it in him a lot more than I see it in me. I see it in me more now than I did when we started here all those years ago, but compared to Dave, I feel like Bronk that time. Bronk had a little dream one time, you know. And in this dream, we were all architects. And I mean, we were archaeologists. So we're on a big dig, you know. We're digging down through that time, and we're trying to remove all this 2,000 years of religion. And we're trying to get down to the original foundation stones, you know. It's just, if you can imagine a big dig and way down there. And Bronk was teaching this, and if y'all don't know, Bronk is pastor of the church in Immokalee, the Family Prayer Center in Immokalee, Florida. So anyway, in this dream, he says, I could see Gary down there. I felt good he saw me ahead of him. I was glad about that. He says, I could see Gary down there, but I couldn't see anything else. And I go, Gary, are you okay? Yeah, I'm digging away. He said, have you seen Pastor Dave? And I go, just a minute. I'm looking way down there. I'm looking way down. I take a light and I'm shining it down as far as I'm looking all down. And finally, yeah, I see him down there. He's way down there. Bronk says, what's he doing? I said, just a minute. I'm shining. Oh, man, he's in fasting and prayer. Oh, no, not that. But I've seen Dave. Dave, to me, he's tender-hearted to a fault, you know. Tender-hearted, kind. When Sue and I do marriage counseling, which, and that's not an invitation, by the way. Please. And I want to apologize a little bit. I mean, over the years, you know, I wasn't always... Okay, let me just say it this way. I don't have as much time right during this season that I've had in the past to return phone calls, emails, and other things that we've done in the past with my parents' situation. That's about 3 hours a day, every day, that I don't have anymore. And I'm real happy that they're here, and I hope they stay, you know, I hope it lasts a long time. But I just apologize. I'm not mad at you. I haven't cut you off. If the email I used to send would have been a page, now it's three sentences or, you know, 10 words, I'm doing the best I can. Gosh, the other day, sometimes I'll go days now without being able to check my email anyway. And, you know, so anyway, just pray for us. Have patience with us. We're doing the best that we can. Okay, back to marriage counseling. Oh, God, it's not an invitation. Trust me. One of the things that I try and talk to them about, you can get in habits, married people, and not just married people. You can just get in a habit of being unkind. No. I'm not looking at anybody. You have to be... Married couples in particular, because you'll start saying things to that person, the one that you promised before God, that you would honor, love, cherish, till death. And you just get in a habit, can I use the word, of sniping at each other? Yeah. Being short with each other? Mm-hmm. You start to... Somebody said one time, a wife said to me, well, I'm just the old cat, you know. He knows I'm always going to be around here, so you can just kick the old cat. Boy, you don't want your marriage to wind up like that. So we'll counsel them and say, you know, you got to be careful. You'll wind up saying things to that loved one, the one that you stood before God and made a vow, I will love, cherish, and honor till death do we part. You'll start saying stuff so ugly, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't talk that way to a total stranger. Yet you just get in the habit of talking that way in your house. And then you wonder why there's not peace and joy and love and happiness and coochie-coochie. You know? Why she didn't make your favorite supper anymore. And why y'all don't... Anyway. Well, you can just get in habits. And you can break habits, too. You know, you can develop better habits. When it says... See, here's what it does not say in verse 32. It does not say, it's all up to God and nothing up to you. He will make you kind. He will make you tender-hearted regardless of you. You have nothing to do with this. He'll forgive one another without any participation on your part. Is that what it sounds like to you? Sometimes being kind and tender-hearted. Now, it is part of the fruit. We're going to jump over here to the fruit in a minute. It is part of the fruit. And the more, if you'll do the message, I'm not worried about you or too much. If you'll do the message, you can't continue to do it and not change. Everyone, let's worship God for that sentence right there, because it's the truth. You can't continue to do this message and not change. The Holy Ghost will relentlessly, impasses and all, He'll drag you through one after the other, and if you'll continue to do it, you will not stay the same way you are. And more His love, you see people through His eyes. You, again, it's not, like Dave said that time, it's not hard to love when that's what you are. It's just, I think Dave is like that. Yes. See? I have to kind of work at being kind sometimes. I have to work at it sometimes. I think Dave just is kind. I know Jesus is kind. All right. Let's jump on down here. In chapter 5, I want to get past the fleshly sins here now. He has a whole list. What comes after that? Be you therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But then he starts talking about all these selfish things. See, all of these things that he lists here, they're all selfish. None of this is for the benefit of the other person. It's all about you. Fornication is all about you. Uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness. He lists all that stuff. But then come on down to, that's really our verse. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, after he lists all of this stuff, and he says, you were darkness, now you're light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit, and that's really the fruit of the new nature. He goes in greater length over there in Galatians, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the new nature. That should be a little S. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Goodness. Just, you don't need a Greek definition of goodness, do you? Goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So he's going, walk as children of the light. Walk. Wherefore he saith, and here's the verse that he started this out in. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then, that you walk circumspectly. And that, boy, there is so much in that. Like, the real cure for, or the real prescription for walking in holiness, walking in righteousness, is not by trying harder by energy of the flesh. It says over in 1 Corinthians, just awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to righteousness. It's not a matter of trying to do something that has already been done. See, that, how did Alan say it that day? It was really good. He says, the paradox of the gospel, we're always trying to do what God has already done. See? He's already made us righteous. He's already put a new nature on the inside of us. Our job is to believe what He said and awake to who we really are. But that awakening, we need the help of the Holy Ghost. And that's why in one of the lessons even this year, we went back to those prayers. Paul's praying that for a reason. This isn't really mentally done. The lessons are, what was that prophecy that came in, I think, the most recent service, last week, Wednesday? Something like this. It says, hear these lessons. The lessons are good. But the lessons are kind of like John the Baptist. It's like a voice crying in the wilderness. It is laying a path to follow. It is preparing the way. But just like the transformation, even in John's day, wasn't just by hearing John. They had to have an encounter with the Lord themselves. So it is in this day. This thing is not mentally accomplished. It's a roadmap. It's showing you what's available. It's got a hook in our jaw and drawing us in a certain direction. But it said, neglect not the foundations that have been laid in this place. What would that be? That is the message. That is the you yourself reading the Word, praying in the Holy Ghost, putting some fasting in there, everything that goes on, worship, everything that's been taught, doing that, nobody can do for you. You yourself are accountable for your time with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So then verse 15, so see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And if I remember my tenses correctly from when I studied this years ago, that particular Greek verb is in that sense that says continually, if I'm not mistaken. That's the one I believe it says, be being filled. Be being filled. See, I like to think of it like a glass of water. I can take a glass and I can be, you know, put a quarter inch of water in it. I can have it half full. I can have it full. Or I can hold it underneath the faucet and I can just let that rascal run over. It's an overflowing, continual filling. That's the way I see it. Our fellowship with the Holy Ghost is to be out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. I think that's what was going on with Smith Wigglesworth. He was just so full of the presence of God. See, I tell that one story all the time about the train. And we all know that story where he got on the train and the presence of God was so strong that this one guy goes, Smith didn't say a word, you know. But just the presence of God was so strong around him. There was that overflowing life that this guy says, you convict me of sin. What must I do to be saved? I would like for that to happen with every person in this room. Everyone in the sound of my voice. Everywhere we go. And I pray it does become exactly like that. But I remember another story about Smith Wigglesworth. Him and a bunch of other famous preachers of the day. They were at one of those conventions. And they all decided they were going to have a prayer meeting. How many of you remember that story? There was, I forget how many, I'm thinking 25, 30, I don't know. There was a bunch of them in a room. So they all began to pray. And little by little, and the atmosphere started getting more saturated with the presence of God. Little by little, a few of them started sneaking out the door. After a while, it got so, how did that writer of that put it? It says, the atmosphere became so rarefied with holiness, the only one that could remain was Smith. He could breathe an atmosphere that was holy beyond what anybody else could stand. And I'm looking forward to the day when we can breathe that same air, if you know what I'm talking about, that same atmosphere. He said there wasn't anybody left in that room but God and Smith. Nobody else could stand it. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Let's have a big dose of that. See? So he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, continually filled with the Spirit. You know, there's no punctuation in the Greek. There's no colon there or semicolon, no verses. How you do that, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a, you know, that is the exact opposite of depression. That is the exact opposite of discouragement. That is, I don't know how in the world you could possibly do that and go around long-faced and sad and woe is me and I need counseling, Brother Gary. You know? Yeah. I've never yet had anybody yet call and say, I'm so full of joy and overflowing love, I need to talk to you. That's never the way that it is when the phone rings. And that's not an invitation either. But anyway, go. I tell you what, you know, that old deal about, will God use you? You remember Shambach's answer? My, use you. My God, man. He'll work you to death. Sue and I fight for a little alone time now. You know, we try to make it through one little program together without the phone ringing or, you know, some kind of something. And we love people, but you know, the day is coming, we won't even have that. We'll be praying. There's a little cot in the corner somewhere at the prayer center where you can catch a 30-minute nap before the next 1,000 come in that need new eyes and new hips and new everything, you know. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's the cure for all depression. There's the cure for boredom. There's the cure for everything. I just told somebody again the other day, I said, what you learned in Sunday school when you was a kid was right. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. The Lord actually literally had me do that. We're going way back now, 25, almost 30 years ago. Poor little Gary was going through a rough time. Oh, Lord, and I had my little despondency. And he started reminding me. There's a little song we used to sing. I can't remember the little ditty now, but count your many blessings, count them one by one. Anyway. And I kept hearing that. So I literally got out a legal pad, and I went, I don't remember now what it was, like one, I'm not dead. That's something. I was so discouraged, you know, well, I'm not dead. Okay, that's one. You know, have you ever been like that? I'm not dead. Okay, number two. Okay, I had lunch today. That's good. But I'm telling you, before it was done, he started reminding me, you know, I live in the USA. Absolutely. You know, I have clothes. Just before it was over, I can't remember now. I had pages of a legal pad filled up. And I just had to repent. I said, I'm just a little spoiled kid. I'm just a little spoiled brat here. I didn't get my way and I didn't like it. Well, he's trying to grow us up beyond there. Let it. Let's do this. Walk in love. Let me finish up here with this. So, verse 19 finishes up saying, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks. Here we go. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Boy, if that's not our passage for the conference that's coming up, yeah, I'll tell you right now, it's really your passage anytime you go to minister anywhere. Anytime you're going to go minister anywhere, that's a real good passage for you. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.